Hey, it's a local spotlight show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I'm Chris Lorton. I am your host. And with me, I have the oldest living telephone operator from Jerseyville with me today, Barb Sackman. Welcome, Barb. How are you?
Thank you. I'm fine.
So, Barb, you grew up here in Jerseyville?
Yes.
Okay. And you're, what, a month away from 94 years old?
Yes.
Okay. And Barb? Hello, Barb.
Yes.
I got a question for you. Okay. You went to Jerseyville High School.
Yes.
All right. And you graduated in 1950.
Yes.
What was high school like back then when you went to high school?
It was wonderful. I loved school.
Did you?
I was active in everything that I could, as well as worked part-time at the telephone company at that time.
Okay.
And I enjoyed high school. It was great.
Yeah. How many kids were
I just
in your...
have one child, Mark.
Okay, you have one child. But when you were in high school, how many kids were in your class?
We weren't a big class. We had about 100.
Okay. Did you live in town or out in the country?
I lived about a mile from town.
Oh, you did?
Mile from town, yes. Mile from the high school, mile from my grade school. Walked all those years.
Bus didn't pick you up?
Oh, bus. We had two
well,
buses.
They pick kids up that live two blocks away now.
Yeah.
But you had to walk.
We walked.
What do you think about that?
I think it was wonderful.
Right.
As we walked, we picked up other people along the way with us. We made a lot of friends. We had a lot of snowball fights. We had a good time walking. We walked a mile to East grade school. Then we walked a mile to the high school, and we enjoyed it.
Why don't you think they walk today? Why do they have buses picking them up in town?
Part of it is stranger danger.
Stranger danger?
And part of it is just the times have changed.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I know I go to my old neighborhood, and I see the buses there, and I think, oh, you don't know what you're missing, the fun that we had going back and forth to school.
Just walking, yeah.
Just walking.
I can remember myself walking back from, I didn't have to walk far because I lived across from the street from the school, but had to walk about a block. And, had some interesting times, you know, walking along. You'd always, you know, be with a group of people that maybe you didn't hang out with all the time, but you were on the same route, you know. And you got to know new people, that's for sure.
Yes.
So you went to high school. When you went to high school, were you thinking like early on that you wanted to be a telephone operator?
No, I just knew that when I got to be 16, I wanted a job.
Why?
I wanted a little bit of money. I wanted some changes. I just was a person who wanted to be out with people and all.
Uh-huh.
And we lived way out there. We didn't have a telephone. We didn't have a car. And so when I got to be 16, I said, I'm going to work.
And
I was immediately hired when I was 16, started right away.
So you would work, what, the night shift?
I would go from high school and work 4 to 8 in the evenings. And then I would work as much as I could on Saturdays and Sundays and the holidays. I was not working for fun necessarily, but I did enjoy it.
Uh-huh.
But I was working for the money.
Yeah, what kind of money did you make back then?
Well, I started at 35 cents an hour.
Yeah.
And you got a little extra if you worked on Sundays, and you got a little more extra if you worked on the holidays. So I worked as many of those as I could. And I was very grateful that I did. I had a wonderful job.
Okay.
Jerseyville Telephone Company was originated by a group of businessmen, and the one that we worked for, his father, excuse me.
That's right.
Was a German immigrant. And this was Dr. Swarz that
Dr.
we worked
Swarz.
For. Swarz. No
and
tea.
He got the telephone company going.
They got the telephone company going. It was upstairs over what was Kirby's drugstore at that time. And then by the time I started working with them in 1948, it had moved to a building over at 209 South Washington. And we were there until they converted to dial in 1963.
So I see. In 1963, where did they go to?
They moved down to the corner of South Washington, and I believe that's, I don't know what street
is that
it
the,
is.
Is that the building that is behind, that is north of DJ's?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because it says telephone building
well,
on it.
Well, that was the old one. on that's north of DJ's, where they have now done a lot of remodeling to.
Yes.
And then we ended up on the south across the street from DJ's.
That's now that it's now empty. Is a telephone company.
It's empty now because they moved the business operation to Bloomington, Illinois in 1981. And took my keys and locked the door, and I went home and cried.
Oh, how are you doing?
I thought I was going to get to work till I was 65, and they put me out when I was in my 40s, so I had to do something else.
I see.
But up to that time, I had started as an operator. I moved up to a supervisor. Then I moved up to the chief operator and saw them through to the dial conversion. Judy Tappan took the last telephone call before dial conversion, and I was there with her as management, and it was quite an experience.
So let's, for those that may not really, I mean, they've all seen movies where, you know, you got the switchboard operator. So every house necessarily didn't have a phone.
That's correct.
But a lot did, and the one thing that I think is kind of interesting is that you said a doctor got this going, all right? Was that because so he could have?
No, he was a retired dentist, and health had made him retire from his dentistry.
Okay.
And he was older, but at the beginning, it was his dad, who was the German immigrant, who was on the committee that started it.
Uh-huh.
And then it moved on down, and then his son was a local attorney, and we worked for them.
It was probably a big plus for the community to be able to communicate, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm sure.
And so you're sitting in there, and how many other operators were there?
When I started, we had eight switchboards.
Eight switchboards. Mm-hmm.
By the time I left, we had 11 switchboards.
Okay, now a switchboard, how big was it?
I can't tell you. I'm not good
on. Like 4 feet wide
probably,
or something?
Probably, okay. Maybe so.
And you had every phone connection was on that board.
Right. Every time you picked up your phone at home, a light came on up there.
And the girl working next to you or guy, was it mostly girls?
You had all girls. There
all
were no
girls.
Men at that time. No.
No men?
No.
Okay.
We had what
so
was
So the girl
called,
next to you, she had the identical board?
Right.
Everybody had these identical boards,
well,
and it had eight of them.
To a point. On one end, we had what was called long distance. You had to have a special trunk, what was called a trunk, to connect you from Jerseyville to Alton to St. Louis to wherever. We could only go through certain trunks, and then we had to tell them what city we wanted and all, and it was a procedure, of course, to get to long distance. But then we had our local connections, which was the people in town. Then we had what was called a county board, were the ones in the country. Remember, they had to crank.
Where were they at?
They were at the end of our switchboard. It was the last one at the end of the switchboard.
The cranking, like getting the battery going
if you were in your home, that's how you got your operator. Sometimes you cranked and you got the operator. There were at least 10 people, could be 10 people on each one of those county lines, five on the R side, five on the W side. The county operator was the one who just passed away at 97 recently. She was mostly always the county operator because she was so good. She was so quick with knowing how many times to ring for whatever they told. She could pull that switch three times. Everybody on that county line, their phone rang.
Okay. So the way it worked was if there might be four or five different phones on the same line.
Right.
And she would, like mine might be one ring. Yours might be two, somebody else's three. Is that the way they did
That's
it?
That's correct, yes.
And she would go, huh, okay,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
So typically you're at the board and a light comes on. Is that
right.
What it is?
Okay. You've seen them in the movies.
Yeah,
where
and then you take up one and you plug something into it.
You plug it in.
And then you can hear them.
And you say number, please, and then you tell us what number you want. The connecting plug, we plug into that number. And if it's W or R, then we push W or R, if it's a party line. Of course, a straight line, then, of course, we just have to ring it. But,
okay.
Yes.
If somebody didn't know the number, did they say, I want to talk to Ralph or whatever?
What? Well, we had information operators, and that's kind of a story because in our directory, of course, it was by your given name. Oftentimes, somebody didn't know the given name, and they'd say, well, just for instance, they'd say, I want to call Butch Shaw. Well, our information operator, 9 times out of 10, would know who Butch Shaw was. Okay. She would know what to give you. And that was something with local, with people who knew people.
Uh-huh.
And our operators
were. With that job, you probably really got to know a lot of people.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. If anything, you recognize their voices.
Yes.
Yeah.
Our doctors were excellent with us. If they were going to be gone that evening or they were going to be doing something else, they would call us and tell us where they were going to be. And when they'd call in, somebody would call in, they'd say, "Now I need Dr. So-and-so." We knew right away where Dr. So-and-so was and could connect them.
Yeah, that's cool. Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Barb Sackman with me today. She's the oldest living telephone operator here in Jerseyville, and she's 94 years young, still getting along great, and we're talking about the old telephone company that she used to work for here in Jerseyville. Okay, you said something about, like, if somebody had an emergency, like, for example, like a fire, you know, if they had a fire, what would happen then?
All right, that's very good, because our fire whistle was blown from the telephone company.
Oh, yeah?
And if you had a fire at your house, first thing you did was grab that telephone and say, "I have a fire." They'd give us the address. Then we would immediately sound the fire siren. We had volunteer firemen at that time who would go to the telephone, and they would ask the telephone operator, "Where's the fire?" Well, the telephone operator's sitting there saying over and over, "Fire is 816 West Exchange. Fire is 816 West Exchange." So every time that volunteer fireman called in, whatever operator got him knew which line to connect it, where we were on, telling them that. And then they would know to go to that fire. Now, after it kind of slowed down a little bit for that, then the public started calling in, wanting to know where the fire was. And we could tell them. It wasn't a secret. We could tell them at that time where it was. So we took care of the fires for them.
Now, you said something like, back then, WJBN was started in 1960, I believe.
Yeah, I don't remember the year, but
yeah.
I know.
And you were working.
Oh, yes.
And you said that the station would play a song, and people were, they'd say, "Call in if you know the song," right?
You're
Didn't
right.
that happen?
Right.
Can you tell us that story?
Right. All of us regular listeners now.
I mean, and you are a regular listener, aren't you?
Oh, yes, I am still a regular listener. Yes.
Love
yes,
it.
Well, as soon as that program came on, and it was early in the morning, I don't remember what time exactly, but early in the morning, that switchboard would light up because all the people wanted to get in on it because they got a prize and they wanted to get in on it. And it was very interesting. It was very good.
Okay.
It was very popular with the radio station, too.
Yes. Well, maybe we should bring that back. What do you think?
I don't know. I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe I could get you to man the phones.
No,
what do you
I
think?
Don't think so.
No, no?
Not now. Not this
stage. I mean,
stage.
Come on. I will pay more than 35 cents an hour.
Oh, well, it took me a while to rake up, to get up to more than that.
What did you do with all that money you made? What was your buy? Clothes or a car
what? No, oh, no. We didn't have a telephone in my house at that time.
Yeah.
And we didn't have a car. So the first things I did was get a telephone in the house,
you
of course.
Did. You yeah. got the telephone.
I got the telephone in the house.
What was your mom and dad saying about that? Oh, we don't need a telephone.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that what they said?
Yeah, that's right.
But you got it in.
I said, "No, I'm a telephone operator. I got to have a telephone." So we did. Yeah, I did well with that.
Yeah.
We had, with our operators, we had a big turnover, of course, because it was the best job in town for a Jerseyville girl because it was clean. She could sit down. It was evenings and weekends and all, and other than that, there weren't too many. The show and different places, the dime store, those places too. But the girls didn't have much opportunity. But after they got out of high school, they didn't want to work all those hours. So we had a pretty good turnover of operators because of the hours mainly that they could go on. But it was a very good job for a young teenage girl.
Yeah, and could anybody pretty much get on, or was it hard to find people to work?
Not really.
No.
But then once we got them, they stayed through school, through their high school years. They didn't leave us until after they got where they could do something else that they didn't have to work that weekends and holidays. And
so as you worked there, you started at the switchboard, and then you advanced your way up.
Yes.
How did things change when what was the next one? Was dial the next? You were putting them in manually, and then it went to the dial phone?
When it went to the dial, of course, it did away with the operators.
Okay.
There were no more operators.
No more operators.
No more operators when it went to dial. No.
Okay. And
that was in 1963
that it went to dial. Yes. Oh, darn. Yeah. That was probably a sad day.
It was. Yeah. It was.
What did the girls do?
Well, I had lost so many of my girls before that. I was chief operator at that time. And I had lost so many of my girls before we went, because they knew their jobs weren't going to be there. And as other jobs came open in other fields, they left. So I had to call some of the old operators who had quit years ago and were older. And they came back to see us through those last months before our dial conversion.
Did you think back then when you were working as an operator, did you think we'd ever come to a thing where we'd have these things? We carry
Absolutely
them around in
not.
Our pocket.
Absolutely not. When I graduated from high school, I had some of the other businessmen who one wanted me to go into insurance with him, one wanted me to go into real estate with him, and my mother said, "Oh, they'll always be telephone operators." Boy, was she wrong. So I stayed with the telephone company, and it worked out well for me until in 1981 when they decided to move the business office to Bloomington, Illinois. And then they locked the door behind me and took my key, and I went home and cried.
Oh, so then what'd you do?
Then I worked 10 years for the state, West Central Illinois Criminal Justice Council. I did 10 years after that of selling specialty advertising. All these years I worked over 50 years as secretary bookkeeper for Sackman Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. So I have had a kind of a busy life.
Well,
but the telephone company was always special, because I started there and I moved up. And then after they converted to dial, I was able to move into the business office. And I was in charge of the business office then until the whole shebang moved to Bloomington.
Yeah. Wilbur, now Wilbur was a plumber. What else did he do anything besides plumbing?
Plumbing, heating, and air conditioning.
Yes. Okay.
Worked for himself, started his own business, went to Rankin. He went to Rankin, then our son Mark went to Rankin.
Uh-huh.
And they got the...
And you were back at home answering a phone.
Well...
Again.
I wasn't back at home much answering it.
Your office?
No, we didn't have an office. We just worked out of our house and out of our garage, out of his truck.
I see.
Yeah.
And what was your duties?
My duty was to do all the books, write the tickets, and keep up with that.
Yeah. Was that a good job?
That was a wonderful job.
What was it?
When you're working for yourself and working with your husband and your son, and you're all working together, and they had a wonderful relationship that they worked together.
What would you say, you've lived here in Jerseyville, worked in Jerseyville, went to school here. What's your comments about living in Jerseyville? Why Jerseyville? Did you ever think about moving, going to a different
heavens.
Town?
No. Stanley Sinclair asked me to write a story about my life and times in Jerseyville because he was doing a book about Jerseyville, and I went through it all. Jerseyville was a wonderful place. You know, everything was closed on Sundays for most of my growing up years, and we could put on our roller skates, get on our bicycle. We could go all over town and didn't have to worry about a thing. There wasn't much traffic, and it was a wonderful place to grow up.
How about the people?
Oh, the people have been fine.
Yeah.
Fine. We have no problems.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's a great place to live.
Yes, yes. Yeah. You don't have to worry. Now, stranger danger, you don't have to worry about. I know when I would go into, for Sinclair's store for a change, I'd see a woman leave her purse in her cart and turn her back and shop and everything. She didn't worry about somebody coming along grabbing her purse out of that. You don't do that when you go out of Jerseyville.
No. Well, you might not even do it in Jerseyville
now.
Well,
you might not today. You see, I'm old now. I don't go out much, but yes. And my telephone years were wonderful, and I think most of the girls who work there would agree with you. There were things that happened, of course, in any job, but the majority of the telephone operators enjoyed it.
What was the craziest thing that you remember as an operator?
Well, the worst thing.
Oh, the worst
was,
thing.
The worst thing was, you know, the night operators, I said, the night operators came in at 10 o'clock. And from 10 o'clock till 6, can you imagine not have anybody in Jerseyville making a telephone call? She could go to sleep. We had a cot there where she could sleep.
Oh,
and if somebody wanted to call and they picked it up and the light came on, it rang a bell. But she could sleep a lot of hours between 10 and 6 in the morning.
So that was a good shift to work?
Well, they thought it was. We had two operators my whole time there that worked that shift. They were older ladies at that time, but they did fine with it. They enjoyed it. But we had one night that we had a terrible accident in town, and one of our local businessmen was killed, and another couple that was in the car with him, they were also killed. And she had to call me to come in and help her because the switchboard lit up with all that activity.
I see.
Otherwise, that's the only time during the night that I had to get up and go and help her. She was able to take care of it.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Anything, we're just about out of time. Is there anything else that you'd like to comment on with this interview?
I'm not sure that the cell phones are the thing they're cracked up to be. There's no privacy at all anymore on your cell phones. I'm not saying that there wasn't
a little bit
of privacy. Yeah. People in the party lines and all, they all had it good. But no, it was nice. I enjoyed my years at the telephone company. I also enjoyed my years of my other jobs too. But
yeah, very good. Well, thank you so much for coming in, Barb. It was very nice to have you.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it too.
Good. You take care.
Will do.